Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, October 25th, 2022. Coming up this hour.
Stocks are steady as investors await an onslaught of big tech earnings.
UBS shares gained the most since June. We'll talk with the bank's CEO.
Rishi Sunak is set to become the UK's third prime minister in as many months.
And Adidas is set to cut ties with Kanye West.
An arrest and an attack in the New York subway system, plus it's debate night for Democratic Governor Hochul and a Republican challenger, Lee Zeldin. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Knicks beat Orlando. The Nets lost in Memphis. The Bears beat the Patriots in Monday Night Football.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are lower this morning. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 9 points. Dow futures down 80. NASDAQ futures down 13. The DAX in Germany is down 0.5%. CAC in Paris up 0.3%. And the FTSE 100 is down 0.4%. 10-year Treasury up 17 32nds, yield 4.17%. The yield on the 2-year, 4.47%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.8% or 69 cents at $83.89 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.4% or $6.40 at $16.47.60 an ounce. The euro, 0.9859 against the dollar. Nathan.
Karen, stocks are coming off two straight days of gains. Yesterday saw a broad-based rally with more than 80% of stocks in the S&P 500 index closing higher. Earnings optimism and speculation the Fed will slow its pace of interest rate hikes helped fuel the 1.2% gain. Ben Kirby is co-head of investments at Thornburg Investment Management.
You know, when you look at the surveys of bulls versus bears, there's way more bears than there have been in a long time relative to bulls. So that at least augurs, I think, for the potential for a snapback. How sustainable that is as the economy slows, again, that's kind of the big question.
Thornburg Investment Management's Ben Kirby thinks we're nearing a peak for interest rates.
Well, in Asia, Nathan, it was a volatile session following yesterday's historic sell-off. A benchmark tech index in Hong Kong bounced between gains and losses and eventually closed up more than 1% today. That index plunged more than 7% yesterday on the prospects of more market-unfriendly policies during President Xi Jinping's third term.
Well, while President Xi stacks his country's top post with allies, Karen, White House advisors are working on a meeting between the communist leader and President Biden. Amy Morris has details from our Bloomberg 99 One newsroom in Washington.
State Department spokesman Ned Price says Xi's move, effectively tearing down divisions between party and state, won't change the U.S. approach to China, a strategy that includes competing on security matters while cooperating where they can on global issues like climate change, global health, and counter-narcotics. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby says they're working on a possible meeting at the G20 in Bali next month, even as there are fewer voices at the top to question Xi's more restrictive policies. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Right, Amy, thanks. In Europe today, Rishi Sunak is set to become the UK's third prime minister in as many months. And let's go live to London and get the very latest with Bloomberg's Ewan Potts. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. It's just 7 weeks since Liz Truss travelled to meet Queen Elizabeth to become Prime Minister. Later today, the UK will have another new leader. Former Chancellor Rishi Sunak will meet King Charles this morning after winning the support of Conservative lawmakers. His first task as Britain's new Prime Minister will be to appoint his top team. As he seeks to reassure nervous investors, Jeremy Hunt is likely to remain as Chancellor in charge of the nation's finances. In London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Ewan, thank you. Let's get back to markets now, where it's a busy day for earnings. Shares of HSBC are down more than 6% this morning. The bank reported higher than expected charges for possible loan losses in its third quarter. While HSBC joined other banks in posting profits that beat estimates, its loan loss provision was almost a third higher than a Bloomberg compiled consensus.
Well, on the flip side, shares of UBS are up 1.5%. The Swiss bank reporting better than expected profit in the third quarter as higher interest rates helped offset lower client activity. We caught up with UBS CEO Ralph Hamers.
We see Volatility in the foreign exchange markets, where we profited a lot actually this quarter, but you also see that volatility leading to further uncertainty with our investors, with our clients, right, on the wealth side. And that uncertainty is actually translated into the need for further guidance. So 90% of our clients are indicating we need more guidance.
UBS CEO Ralph Hamers made the comments in an interview with Bloomberg's Manus Krani. Hear more of that conversation coming up shortly right here on Bloomberg Daybreak.
Back here in the U.S., Karen, a busy week for tech earnings kicks off this afternoon with both Alphabet and Microsoft reporting. We get a preview on Microsoft from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Bloomberg Intelligence says the software giant could potentially surpass the 2024 consensus for sales growth. Microsoft is seen as the company that stands to benefit the most from the growing digital shift as clients upgrade their technology. But the company's earnings come at a time when there is foreign exchange pressure and there are concerns about weakness in its PC business. Microsoft is in the process of laying off about 1,000 workers across multiple divisions. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thanks. Well, another corporate news this morning. Looks like Adidas is cutting ties with Kanye West. We get the details from Bloomberg's Lisa Mateo.
Bloomberg News has learned the German sports company plans to end its partnership with the rapper and designer following a rash of offensive behavior. West, who now goes by Ye, has made controversial statements, including anti-Semitic social media posts in recent weeks. The Adidas decision follows weeks of deliberations inside the company, which over the past decade has built the Yeezy line, together with Ye, into a brand that's accounted for as much as 8% of Adidas' total sales, according to several estimates from Wall Street analysts. Adidas would join Gap and Kering's Balenciaga fashion label in prematurely cutting ties with West. Lisa Mateo, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Lisa, thank you. And shares of Adidas are falling on the news of its breakup with Kanye West. Shares are down more than 3% in Frankfurt.
And futures are moving a touch lower now, Karen, with S&P futures down 9 points now. Dow futures are down 92, and NASDAQ futures are lower by 16 points. 10-year Treasury's up 16/32. The yield 4.17%. Yield on the 2-year 4.47. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. It's now 5:07 on Wall Street. Got some fog. 63 degrees in Central Park. It's slow on the Cross Bronx between 3rd and Webster because of construction. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. A man is in custody in New York City for last week's violent and unprovoked attack on a subway rider. 41-year-old Lamal McRae, who police say has an extensive criminal history, is now accused of shoving 32-year-old David Martin onto the train tracks at a Brooklyn subway stop last Friday. Martin survived, but his family says he's traumatized and suffered a broken collarbone, the attack prompting the NYPD to step up its presence at subway stations. Meanwhile, commuters are now searching out places along railings on the platform where they feel they can't be assaulted.
We're afraid that someone will come up and sneak up behind us and bump us or push us.
The MTA is now also trying to gain the authority to ban people with convictions that include violent crime underground from using the subway system. There was a tragic accident in the subway in Manhattan. Authorities say a commuter was struck and killed by a one train at 59th Street Columbus Circle yesterday afternoon after getting caught in the doors. Officials say the 20-year-old man was dragged by the train after a piece of clothing got caught in the subway's doors and then was fatally struck. It's debate night between New York Democratic Governor Kathy Hochul and her Republican challenger Lee Zeldin. The two are expected to debate such topics as crime and the state's bail reform laws. Hochul and Zeldin will hit the podiums at 7 p.m. Florida's Governor Ron DeSantis declined to say whether he'll run for president as Democrat. Florida Governor Charlie Crist, rather, debated ahead of next month's elections. Governor DeSantis defended laws passed during his term that restricted the teaching of racial and gender issues in Florida schools.
I'm proud of our history. I don't want to teach kids to hate our country. I don't want to teach kids to hate each other. And the way to stop discrimination on the basis of race is to stop discriminating on the basis of race.
The debate's airing on WPEC. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It's 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update, brought to you by Tri-State Audi. Good morning, John Stashar.
Good morning, Nathan. The Jets having won 4 in a row, perhaps tuned into the Monday night game to watch the Patriots. 2 of the Jets' next 3 games versus New England, who got surprisingly blown out at home by Chicago, 33-14. The Bears scored the last 23 points. They outrushed the Pats 243-70. They forced 4 turnovers. Mac Jones returned from his ankle injury, but got benched for rookie Bailey Zappi. Bill Belichick said he's not sure who his quarterback will be Sunday at MetLife. That Jet win in Denver was costly. Rookie running back Breeze Hall tore his ACL. Guard Elijah Vera Tucker tore his triceps. Both done for the year. The Jets coach is Robert Saleh.
It's the NFL, it's next man up. Michael Carter has proven that he can carry the load, and Ty Johnson has done a really nice job. And with our offensive line, we've been, it's been all year with guys shuffling, and just got a lot of faith in the guys that are here to be able to step in and continue to do the job that was done before them.
And the Jets last night made a trade to get a running back. They sent a late-round draft pick to acquire James Robinson from Jacksonville. That's where the Giants just won their 4th in a row, but they saw 3 offensive starters go down. Knee injuries to guard Ben Bredesen and tackle Evan Neal. An eye injury to rookie tight end Daniel Bellinger. None will play this week in Seattle, but all could be back later in the season. At the Garden, Knicks beat Orlando 115-102. Julius Randle 25 points. Jalen Brunson had 21 and RJ Barrett 20. In Memphis, 37 points for both Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, but 38 for both Ja Morant and Desmond Bane. And the Grizzlies beat the Nets 134-124. The Devils lost to Washington 6-3. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thanks, John. S&P futures down 9 points. Dow futures down 88. NASDAQ futures down 13 points. 10-year Treasury is up 15/32. Yield 4.17%. Yield on the 2-year 4.47%. UBS shares up nearly 5% in Zurich on the back of strong earnings for the Swiss bank. We'll speak with the CEO, Ralph Hommers, next. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Sports is brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today, or visit AudiOffers.com for more information.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures are lower this morning, with S&P futures down 10 points, Dow futures down 98, and NASDAQ futures down 14. 10-year Treasury up 14/32, yield 4.18%, and a yield in the 2-year 4.47%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.4% on $1.16 at $83.42 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.4% or $7.20 at $16.46.90 an ounce. The euro 0.9864 against the dollar. The yen 148.89. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Rishi Sunak is due to be installed as Britain's third Prime Minister of the Year by King Charles III. Then his first task is appointing a cabinet that can wrestle with the UK's economic and political crisis. Sunak was selected as leader of the governing Conservative Party after the brief term of Liz Truss. In St. Louis, a former student broke into Central Visual and Performing Arts High School, fatally shooting 2 and wounding 6 others. The 19-year-old gunman was reportedly killed by police. In the NBA, the Knicks won and the Nets and Celtics lost. In hockey, the Capitals beat the Devils 6-3. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It's 5:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and we'd now like to bring you an interview with the CEO of UBS, Ralph Hommers. He spoke with Bloomberg's Manus Cranny after the Swiss bank beat third quarter estimates thanks to higher interest rates. They talked about the results, the outlook for the bank, and for the economy.
Every time we sit down, we talk about huge volatility, deleveraging, and client sentiment. But let's trim it down a bit. Huge volatility, and yet you see pretty substantial inflows on fee-generating assets. Where did it come from? And are you surprised?
Good morning, Manus. And indeed, I think you're hitting at the right point here. So we see volatility in the foreign exchange markets, where we profited a lot actually this quarter. Mm-hmm. But you also see that volatility leading to further uncertainty with our investors, with our clients, right, on the wealth side. And that uncertainty is actually translated into the need for further guidance. So 90% of our clients are indicating we need more guidance. And if they want more guidance, that's why they bring their money to us. And that's why we saw the positive flow so strongly coming into our franchise this quarter. 17 billion of net new fee generating assets globally, 7 billion in Asia, 6 billion in EMEA, and 4 billion in the US.
Do you think clients are in full fear, tin hat mode at the moment?
I don't think they're in full fear. These clients, they are also rational. Clearly, they're looking at things and they want guidance. But in the end, they do stay invested. They're looking for further cash opportunities and further alternative opportunities to invest in as well. So it is all about, you know, how to diversify the portfolio and how to get more exposure to cash and near cash and increase the yield there. And that's what we've seen. But they're more on the sidelines and not so much completely withdrawing from the market.
Now, look, the other alpha as you look through this number, the set of numbers and the guidance, is net interest income. It's the banking story of this year and next. Talk me through the guidance. What will you do in NIMS this year and what's going to drive it into 2023?
So you actually see quite some pickup on net interest income this quarter already. That is on the back of further improvements in the way we manage our clients' money from sweeps to deposits and other alternatives. We saw NII going up 14% between PNC and GWM. The fourth quarter, we're guiding a continuation of an increase of NII up to the 200 million. But even beyond that, given the fact that we don't only have exposure to US dollars, with our clients, but we also have large amounts of deposits from clients in euros and Swiss francs. We actually expect more upside on those currencies next year.
And on that rates, the debate is this, is whether it's peak inflation, peak rates. Where do you stand on US rates, which has been the alpha of this year? Where can we get to in dollar rates?
Well, we expect that the Fed will further hike maybe to 5.25 to really fight that inflation. Maybe at the cost of a slight recession, if at all. But that, you know, that danger is there. We think it's okay. On the euro side, we do expect further hikes to 2.25. And on the Swiss franc side, we expect further hikes to 1.25.
Can I challenge you a little bit? 5.25% is lumpy in the US. Yeah. It delivers a mild recession.
There's always this terminology. Is it a deep recession, moderate recession? Is it two quarters? Is it three quarters? It doesn't really matter. I think for the US market, we've always seen that market is so dynamic. So the rebound will also be good. The jobs, the job numbers are still good. The household numbers are still good. So I do think that further increases in yields will not be so detrimental to the economy.
Judy, mind to ask, your fee-generating assets up by $17 billion. Did you have a Credit Suisse moment? Was there a monster move from Credit Suisse into UBS? Tell the world.
Well, we're not going into how our competitors develop, and I don't think we need competitors to help us there from that perspective. We have a global wealth business. Wealth is what we do. We have very strong client relationships, and clients are just bringing more money to us for the guidance that we can give, and also the spread and the diversification we can advise on.
So no significant Credit Suisse inflow moment.
As I said, you know, this is not for us to go into that. But I think the underlying trend is really more driven by clients looking for guidance than anything else.
The buyback. Sarah, your CFO, guided us at a conference recently, tantalizingly, that the buyback would be more than $5 billion. What will it be?
Well, it really depends on how the markets develop and also the liquidity in the market, because there is a limit to what we can do. Year to date, last Friday, we were at 4.6. We will continue at the same level of speed. So we should be getting certainly over the $5 billion towards the 5.5.
And that was UBS CEO Ralph Hommers speaking with Bloomberg's Manus Cranny. Stick with us. We'll bring you more of that interview later in the show. You can also watch the full conversation on Bloomberg.com and on the Bloomberg terminal. And following the earnings from UBS, the shares are up more than 4% right now in Zurich. S&P futures are moving lower now, down 10 points. Dow futures down 98. NASDAQ futures are down by 12 points. 10-year Treasury is up 15/32, yield 4.17%. Yield on the 2-year, 4.47%. NYMEX crude down 1.2% right now at $83.59 a barrel. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by the New York Community Trust. Your name will live on as a champion of the causes you care about for years to come through a charitable bequest to the New York Community Trust. Learn more at philanthropist.nyc.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by SEI. Imagine your asset management firm's operational infrastructure as a competitive advantage. Let SEI show you how at seic.com/IMS.
Well, we're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks are coming off two straight days of gains. Steady earnings and hope for slowing rate hikes help fuel the rally. Robert Stimson, chief investment officer with Oak Associate Funds, says recession or not, traders should expect choppiness ahead.
A recession doesn't matter for stocks. They simply do not like a slowing economy, and that is what we have. So whether it's a mid-cycle slowdown or a soft landing or a recession, stocks tend to struggle when the economy is slowing, and that's the environment we're in. So the last week may have been better, but we do think it's going to be well into next year before stocks get further signals that a sustained advance is really possible.
Robert Stimson with Oak Associate Funds believes stocks have not bottomed just yet.
Meantime in Asia, Karen, Hong Kong's benchmark tech index bounced between gains and losses but closed up more than 1% today. It follows a more than 7% drop yesterday over concerns Chinese President Xi Jinping's third term will bring unfriendly market policies.
Well, she is stacking China's top posts with allies who are less likely to counter restrictive policies, Nathan. But White House advisors say they're still working on a meeting between the communist leader and President Biden, possibly at the G20 in Bali next month.
Over in Europe, Karen, Rishi Sunak is set to become the UK's third prime minister in as many months. Sunak is set to speak in about an hour. We'll bring you those comments live on Bloomberg Radio and television.
Well, to earnings now, Nathan. Shares of HSBC are down about 8% in London. That's after the bank reported higher than expected charges for possible loan losses.
On the flip side, Karen, shares of UBS are up more than 4%. The Swiss bank reported better than expected profit. We spoke with UBS CEO Ralph Hommers about the results, plus volatility in foreign exchange.
You also see that volatility leading to further uncertainty. And that uncertainty is actually translated into the need for further guidance. So 90% of our clients are indicating we need more guidance. And if they want more guidance, that's why they bring their money to us. And that's why we saw the positive flow so strongly coming into our franchise this quarter.
UBS CEO Ralph Hommers spoke with Bloomberg's Manus Cranny, saying he sees more clients sitting on the sidelines in the current climate.
And back here in the U.S., Nathan, we have a high-profile breakup this morning. Bloomberg News has learned Adidas plans to end its partnership with Ye, the man formerly known as Kanye West. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. So it's 5:33 on Wall Street. We're at 63 degrees in Central Park. We got a crash on the inbound GWB. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. It is debate night between New York Democratic Governor Kathy Hochul and her Republican challenger Lee Zeldin. The two are expected to debate such topics as crime and the state's bail reform laws. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis declined to say whether he'll run for president as Democratic challenger Charlie Crist accused him of being too distracted by a bid for the White House in 2024. As for immigrants, Crist accused DeSantis of misusing public money to fly asylum seekers from Texas to Martha's Vineyard earlier this year.
You want to pull political stunts like you did with the taxpayers' dollars of the people of Florida. That's not what it's for. That's not what you should have done. It isn't funny. It's not right. And you were inhumane in how you treated these people.
In Florida's first and only re-election debate, DeSantis said Crist's support for President Joe Biden 100% of the time meant that he should share the blame for the worst inflation in 40 years in the U.S.
Why are fuel and natural gas prices up? Because of the Biden-Crist energy policies. They're waging war on American energy. They are not producing what we need to do. They're begging Maduro and OPEC for more oil.
The debate was aired on WPEC. A man is in custody in New York City for last week's violent and unprovoked attack on a subway rider. The attack prompted the NYPD to step up its presence at subway stations. The U.S. is making more charges that China's espionage into U.S. business is growing. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The DOJ unsealed two more charges claiming Chinese intelligence officers tried to obstruct the criminal investigation of the Huawei technologies. And FBI Director Christopher Wray says that is basically the tip of the iceberg.
And frankly, in thousands of others, we've found the Chinese government threatening established democratic norms and the rule of law as they work to undermine U.S. economic security and fundamental human rights.
Ray says so far, charges against 13 working for China's intelligence service. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. $5.35 now on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Sports Update, and it's brought to you by Tri-State Audi. Good morning, John Stanshauer.
Good morning, Nathan. The Knicks last season had two players average 20 points a game, Julius Randle, R.J. Barrett. Now the Knicks have added Jalen Brunson, and at the Garden, Randle scored 25. Barrett added 20. Brunson scored 21. Knicks beat the Magic 115-102. They're back home tomorrow. For Charlotte, the Nets have their two stars, and in Memphis, both Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving poured in 37 points, but the Grizzlies, Ja Morant and Desmond Bane, one-upped them 38 apiece. Memphis won 134-124. Nets tomorrow visit Milwaukee. Devils lost to Washington 6-3. The Rangers tonight welcome in the reigning Stanley Cup champion, Colorado Avalanche. Week 7 wrapped up with a surprisingly easy win by Chicago, 33-14 at New England. Both teams are 3-4. The Pats are in last place, and they're unsure who their quarterback is. Mac Jones returned from his ankle injury, got benched for rookie Bailey Zappe. They combined to throw three interceptions. The Pats visit the red-hot Jets on Sunday. The Jets having lost running back Breeze Hall, who was having a terrific rookie season, to a torn ACL. Last night, the Jets sent the late-round draft pick to Jacksonville to acquire running back James Robinson. Quarterback change in Indianapolis. The veteran Matt Ryan in his first season with the Colts benched for Sam Ellinger, who's never thrown a pass in an NFL game. The offseason underway for the Yankees. Aaron Boone hopeful it includes a new contract for Aaron Judge.
Someone that I've grown close with and just admire and respect. And, you know, hopefully we'll see him in pinstripes for a long time. I don't even want to think about the alternative right now. But, you know, he means a lot to a lot of us in that room.
World Series starts Friday, Phillies and Astros in Houston. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thank you. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report. Here with that is Bloomberg's Scott Carr.
Tech and financial service companies led the way in the amount of subleased space in Manhattan during this year's third quarter. That from a new report from Seville's Manhattan Sublease Overview. Directors at New York Business Journal say there's been more than 2 million square feet of available sublease space leased since the last quarter, a substantial increase since before the pandemic. The state-of-the-art post-production house Fifen Studios has opened in Englewood Cliffs. The studio will be serving New Jersey's growing film community as studio, network, and independent productions continue flocking to the Garden State. It represents the latest expansion of the female-led business founded by award-winning producers Molly Connors and Jane Sinise. Saks off Fifth is opening another department store in Connecticut, returning to Stamford with a new store set to open Thursday. It marks the third Saks off Fifth in the state. They're taking much of the space that was occupied by a Lord & Taylor at Stamford Town Center Mall. That's the Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Scott Carr.
Thank you, Scott. It's 538 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Apple has increased prices for its music and TV Plus services for the first time.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WCCO in Minneapolis, I'm reporting that Medtronic plans to spin off one of its businesses into a new company.
I'm Wendy Gillette on WIOD in Miami. I'm reporting on the sinking supplies of OJ.
I'm Stephen Carroll on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We've been reporting on results from HSBC and UBS, beating expectations helped by higher interest rates.
I'm Scott Carr on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting on automakers in Motor City bucking concerns about emissions and climate change.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Back here on Wall Street, we are watching earnings come down the pike today. We'll hear from Microsoft and Alphabet, but also a big name in the restaurant industry. Chipotle Mexican Grill is among 40 companies in the S&P 500 reporting their results today. Let's get a preview now from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The analyst survey by Bloomberg are looking for adjusted earnings per share of $9.23 on revenue of $2.24 billion. Earnings will be watched for signs that higher prices help bolster sales. Analysts say there's also concern about profitability due to stubbornly high commodity and labor inflation and softening demand. Bloomberg intelligence analyst Michael Halen says along with price increases, more in-restaurant dining and retention of digital revenue gained from the pandemic helped third quarter same-store sales. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Charlie, thank you. We're watching futures point lower now. S&P futures down 15 points. Dow futures down 140. NASDAQ futures are lower by 28 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Sports is brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local tri-state Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today or visit AudiOffers.com for more information.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks in Europe pairing gains. They're now moving lower. U.S. stock index futures are falling as investors purse a stream of corporate news ahead of policy meetings by the European Central Bank and Federal Reserve. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 16 points this morning. Dow futures down 145. NASDAQ futures down 28. The DAX in Germany is down 0.8%. 10-year Treasury up 14 32nds. Yield 4.18%. The yield on the 2-year, 4.47%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.5% on $1.29 at $83.28 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.6% or $10.10 at $16.44 an ounce. The euro at 0.9870 against the dollar. British pound 1.1324. And the yen is at 148.90. Bitcoin is down 0.6% at $19,270. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you kindly. Rishi Sunak is due to be installed as Britain's third Prime Minister of the Year by King Charles III. Sunak, Britain's first Prime Minister of color, faces the huge task of trying to shore up an economy sliding toward recession and reeling after his predecessor's experiment in libertarian economics. Six Palestinians were killed in the West Bank overnight and more than 30 were injured as an Israeli military operation targets a local militia that has carried out attacks. In the NBA, the Knicks won, the Nets and Celtics lost. In hockey, the Capitals beat the Devils 6-3. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and Nathan, guess what? This is Bloomberg, sir.
So it is. Thank you, Michael. We're coming up to 549 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak, and we're joined now by Brian Levitt, global market strategist at Invesco, as we take a look at this market this morning. Brian, it's great to speak with you. Seeing futures point a little bit more to losses, but after two straight days of gains for the equity market, what do you see as the path ahead?
Well, it's going to
to be a little bit challenging. It's not going to be a straight line here. We're still working through a bottoming process. And it's an economy that's contracting or at least growing below trend and coming down with policy still tightening. So that's a little bit of a challenge. But I do remind investors that historically equities tend to do well over the next year when inflation has peaked. And we believe it has, which suggests that, you know, some near-term challenge, but positive on equities over the next 6 to 12 months.
Well, you say inflation has peaked. Are you thinking that that could mean that we see a pivot from the Fed sooner than markets have been pricing in now? I think they're calling for 75 basis point moves at each of the next two meetings here.
Well, the market has priced in a terminal Fed funds rate now of 5. I mean, it's been a challenge getting to where that terminal rate would be. First, it was 3, then 4, then 4.5. You know, so the market keeps having to price in additional tightening. I think there's a high probability that 5% or close to it is the terminal rate. I mean, you have core personal consumption expenditure year over year at 4.9. So that would be a Fed funds above core PCE, which seems about right. And if that's the case, then we start to think about the pause. I don't know if I would necessarily call it, you know, a significant pivot, but a pause. And as the market starts to anticipate that pause, you should see financial conditions begin to ease.
I want to get your thoughts on some commentary we heard just this morning from the CEO of J.P. Morgan, Jamie Dimon. He's been speaking in Riyadh. He now says that geopolitical risk is a much bigger concern than recession. Kind of stood out to me, given that Jamie Dimon just a few months ago called recession risk a economic hurricane coming. How do you see the risks playing out in markets? Is geopolitics a bigger concern for you than recession risk right now?
Well, geopolitics is always a concern. I agree that things seem quite challenging now, although I also remind investors that the markets did quite well in the 20th century with a couple of world wars and a Great Depression. So, you know, I think what investors need to do with regards to the geopolitical concerns is put some hedges in their portfolio. I mean, look, if there's going to be you know, significant conflict between great economic powers of the world, then, you know, it's going to be quite challenging environment for investors. But to me, what history suggests to me is that investors are better served paying attention to where they are in the business cycle, what monetary policy is set to do, rather than trying to overly focus on the geopolitical risks. The geopolitical risks are going to be with us for the rest of our lives. And, you know, for investors trying to reach their goals, they're going to have to stick to an investment plan and hedge against the geopolitical risks.
All right. So in our last 30 seconds here, what does hedging look like for you with this kind of geopolitical backdrop?
Well, I mean, look, what we saw with Russia and Ukraine, obviously the hedges were commodities. If there's a bigger conflict between larger powers, I mean, look, that's not larger economic powers. It's going to be a challenge for the economy, for global economy. And so, look, I mean, it's going to be, you know, people say get rid of those 60-40 portfolios or it's not working. I think investors will be happy to be in higher quality bonds, longer duration assets in that type of a world.
Thanks as always, Brian. Great to get your thoughts. Brian Levitt, global market strategist at Invesco, with us this morning, Karen.
Well, Nathan, it is 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Wendy Gillette.
The first collective bargaining agreement has been reached in Congress. Staffers in the office of Michigan Democratic Representative Andy Levin will get $10,000 more in pay. A GM worker's sex bias and retaliation lawsuit is going forward following pretrial rulings by a U.S. District Court judge in Tennessee. Shelley Varner claims two less qualified male engineers got promotions over her. And two firms are leading Atlanta-based Rose Hill Acquisition Corporation in its merger with a Chilean fruit distributor called Prize that exports berries, cherries, and nuts. yachts to over 30 countries.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, Wendy, thanks. Now another legal story we're watching. Alex Jones has mocked the nearly $1 billion jury verdict against him for spreading the myth that the deadliest school shooting in U.S. history never happened, and said he would keep the families of the Sandy Hook victims in court for years to prevent paying the money. Getting the verdict is only the first hurdle in a long legal process for the families, one complicated by the fact that Jones' company, Free Speech Systems, has filed for bankruptcy. For more, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks to bankruptcy attorney Nicholas Kofroth of Fox Rothschild.
So Alex Jones said on his show, do these people actually think they're getting any money, literally for hundreds of thousands of dollars that can keep them in court for years? How often are these huge verdicts collected?
Well, I mean, it's tough when you have a bankruptcy case intervening, and particularly here we have a bankruptcy case that was filed kind of strategically before these judgments were entered. When you have a billion-dollar judgment, it's pretty tough to collect on it, and certainly there's a lot of motivation on Alex Jones's part to come up with as many maneuverings in court as possible, you know, appropriate or not, to delay payment on these debts, and these bankruptcy cases are certainly kind of part of that strategy, to prolong payment and to at least come up with a narrative that Free Speech Systems doesn't have the money for it.
The Sandy Hook families have intervened in the bankruptcy case. They accused Jones of burdening his company, Free Speech Systems, with $54 million in concocted debt owed to a different company, PTPR, owned by Jones and his father. When will those claims be settled?
Well, part of the early litigation in the bankruptcy case was the victim saying, hey, this debt with PTPR is concocted, and it's going to form the basis of an argument that Free Speech Systems isn't going to be able to pay our debts. So the victims raised this issue early on and said to the bankruptcy court, look, you know, they filed their schedules and their financial disclosures, Free Speech Systems did, indicating these debts were legitimate. The only person in charge of confirming whether they're legitimate is Alex Jones and his cronies who are running this business. We don't trust that. Please appoint a committee in this case to look into this. And the court kind of took a middle ground approach. Instead of appointing a committee, the court said, what I'm going to do is I already have a Subchapter 5 trustee who is a disinterested person, not, you know, on the side of the victims, not on the side of the debtor. I'm going to expand the scope of her duties, and I'm going to have her investigate whether or not these debts actually are legitimate. And so now what we have, the bankruptcy court has kind of pumped the brakes on moving the bankruptcy process forward so this independent and kind of unusual investigation can take place, because the bankruptcy court seriously doubted the legitimacy of those debts.
And that's Nicholas Kofroth of Fox Rothschild speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcast. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLaw Go. And still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, a check on the business headlines and all the news you need to start your day. And this is Bloomberg.